PhD thesis, and his advisor was one of Skinner's teachers. I mean, or was one of the psychologists who, actually, I don't know that he was a specific teacher, but I think he was, because he did his work with Thorndike. You know, you're talking about the people who started behaviorism, you know, which is kind of a distinct American version of psychology. So McClellan's work, behavioral work and experimental work, started with the people that Skinner studied as well. And he always included Skinner's work and the earlier works on which it was based as a part of his lectures. Actually, in David's topology, as he says in the motivation book, the 85 one, Skinner was a part of what he called particularistic motivation theories. He thought all motivational thought broke up into three families. Particularistic theories that said there was one motive. White used to think that in terms of the motive for effectiveness or efficacy. Skinner said there was a stimulus-response reinforcement sequence, and you could understand all motivation by that one issue. It wasn't really the environment, it was that sequence of the SRO. McClellan said that there was another school of motivation thought called the pluralists, and that's where he placed himself, Henry Murray being the most notable from the 20s and 30s, in which, and Sal Maddy and others later, in which they basically contended individuals had a lot of different motives, and you needed to look at them pluralistically if you really wanted to understand motivation. And then there were the developmental theorists, which, you know, you could include Sigmund Freud as one in the early years around motivation, but later on you would have included Carl Rogers and those personality theorists, and Maslow would have been included in there, who basically thought that you could account for motivation by looking at a hierarchy. So, does that help?
Yes,
thank you.
Good morning, my name is Les. I'm in the Information Systems Department. I was wondering, had any work been done on a combination of these three parts, you know, the need for affiliation, you know, the need for power, and this, you know, need for achievement, and if somehow one kind of moderated the other one?
I would say that in 1969 or 70, I think I was given the responsibility of turning the first achievement motivation course to a course that worked on all the motives at McBurr, and we were doing it for organizations and governments. At the time, Dave and the others, McClellan and others, had just finished all the experiments in India and had been doing work in parts of Africa and the Middle East and South America. And in fact, from the Small Business Administration in the 70s, people started focusing on the achievement motive in the U.S. But those of us who were doing the research started focusing on the patterns. So by the late 70s, you started to see articles being published. Like Dave and I had one article that came out in 82 that we took something he talked about and did some comparative cultural work in his Power of the Inner Experience, his 1985 book, called The Leadership Motive Profile. Or actually, I think he called it in that book The Imperial Motive Profile, but then it was shifted the name, in which you started to look at the entrepreneurial motive profile seemed to be pretty clear. It was high achievement, low affiliation, moderate power. What started to come out as the leadership motive profile was high need for power, low need for affiliation, moderate need for achievement, and high self-control. And when people demonstrated that pattern of these various motives, they tended to be outstanding as leaders. And when they didn't demonstrate it, they tended not to be. And at that point, through the 80s and into the 90s, you started to see people spending a lot more time, even in the kinds of statistics they used to analyze the data, always analyzing them in the context of one another. Very few of us doing research from 1970 on ever assessed one of the motives without assessing all of them.
Thank you.
Richard, we're in our closing minutes, and we've got one last question.
Yes, my name is John Miles, first year PhD student in management, and I had a quick methods question. We read where with the TAT, where when that there was a low correlation between the CAT and the self-report questionnaire.
Yep.
My question was, what methods were used in terms of validating the TAT in terms of convergent validity?
Books have been written about that. Again, I would refer you to his 85 book. There was another book, compendium, done by David McClellan and David Winter and Charles Smith that came out in 1992 on results from thematic analysis of motivation that was a kind of handbook, almost a compilation of a lot of these studies. So I'm not going to be able to answer your question very well right now, but convergent validity was established in terms of the motive measures on the basis mostly of criterion-based outcomes. So you started to see study after study that showed that people high in the need for achievement started more small businesses, they created more jobs, they paid more taxes. You started to see the fact that people high in the need for power ended up being officers of more organizations. You started to see people high in the need for affiliation made more long-distance telephone calls. And remembering this is back in the 60s and 70s when that was still a big deal. People high in the need for affiliation wrote more letters to so when you could establish the validity against criterion measures and it showed separate validity, you ended up having some pretty good discriminant validity, I guess you'd call it. In terms of the convergent, then the question was, can you show that comparable measures seem to get at the same thing? Now that's where David's contention, which you know I and others fully agreed with, and I think the data continues to support it, is that self-report measures, by definition, are not going to get at motives. Self-report measures seem to only get at values. So if you ask somebody, you know, where's your level of need for achievement, affiliation, and power, your answer is going to have more to do with what your current social groups or reference groups think is good than your actual motives. And the correlation of that with your values and your value preferences is usually very high. The associations, correlations with your actual behavioral choices is low.
Did
I answer your question or not? I'm not sure.
Yes, you did.
You have been wonderful. We really fell into a gold mine, and your background with both of the people that we spoke about today and then your insights have just been marvelous, and we'd like to express our appreciation and let you know you've been a high point of our entire class and perhaps even the semester.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful day, and thank you, Richard.
Okay, Arthur.
Bye.
Bye-bye, all.
Bye-bye.